This is Brother Gino Cassieri, your instructor for the course in the Book of Joshua. We're just about to begin lesson number 19, which will cover Joshua chapter 18, and we're on tape number 10, side number 1. The title of lesson 19 is Dividing the Remaining Land, and this will be broken up in two parts. Part 1. First, some introductory remarks. The normal, everyday, standard run-of-the-mill Christian living today is tired of fighting the good fight and has not gone into his or her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ looking for anything more than salvation from hell. They become spiritually content with their present life and have little or no desire to grow in their relationship with Christ and find out what God has in store for them. This is the picture that we get when we come to these seven remaining tribes not having a diligent desire to possess their inheritance. God's demands are serious and require our serious attention. For example, you must be born again. Amen. John 3:3. Your heart must be right with God and people. Your life must be busy doing something for God. And you must take the time to pray and study your Bible. And of course, we could go on and on and on. But we want to remember that God's commands are serious and require our serious attention. In the review of our previous lessons, only three tribes had begun to fill up their land. Judah received the land first with Caleb, but did not utterly drive out all the inhabitant. Ephraim was next, and then Manasseh. Now there is a big meeting called, and God is starting to push the people. Timing is important. If you wait too long to grow, what will happen is all your previous victories are filled back up with your enemies again. Attitude is important. Not being diligent in our attitude will result in not only other people losing steam, but our children will not stay focused in their lives. Now let's begin as we look at dividing the remaining land, part number 1. First, we want to look at the assembly at Shiloh. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 18, and we read, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me." So we see the assembly at Shiloh. Amen. And it talks about And the whole congregation of children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. The tabernacle, we remember, was the place where man met God at a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Amen. And it contained 7 articles of furniture. And wherever Israel went, it traveled with them. There was no permanent place on earth, amen, for that tabernacle. And the tabernacle will stay here at Shiloh until David comes and become king. Now, the place called Shiloh, we see now, is a partial fulfillment of the prophecy, but wrong timing. And we see in the book of Genesis, chapter 49 for a moment, in one verse, Genesis 49 and verse number 10, we read, the scepter, and the scepter, of course, shows rulership, shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come unto him, and unto him shall be gathered of the people be. And of course, Shiloh there in the prophecy is the Messiah. But Shiloh is a person, amen, a king. And it's located in northern Israel and becomes a source of strife. It also explains the woman at the well in John chapter 4, who was back to trying to worship God at Shiloh instead of at Jerusalem. Look at Joshua's rebuke in verses 2 and 3, and in chapter 18, verses 2 and 3 of Joshua. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? His rebuke basically was to them, you are too slow. See, the remaining tribes were tired of the battle, were tired of fighting. They were just sitting around. They were lazy, amen. They were content with unfinished business. And what happened is they were losing their desire to go in and possess the promised land themselves. What had happened is they had developed attitudes of slackness, indifference, carelessness, and negligence. We're told in the Bible a wise man, the principle behind this now is this, a wise man will hear a rebuke, according to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Christians today don't look forward to spiritual things for the most part. Amen. We don't strive for what God has for us in each day, nor do we look forward to our home in heaven and for possessing God's blessing in this life. Christians need to receive the rough parts of Scripture with meekness as much as they do the good parts. Amen. Over in the book of James, in chapter number 1, in verse 21, we read, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, what? The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So as Christians, we need to receive, amen, the rough parts of Scripture, the admonition and the rebukes of Scripture with meekness. as much as we do the good parts. Amen. Now, this applies to the New Testament Christians, as it did to the Corinthians. And what happened to the Corinthians, and we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, they had remained spiritual babies for well over 20 years. Looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 1 through 3. And brethren, Paul writes them, and brethren could not, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul's saying he couldn't speak to the church at Corinth there as people of that were mature Christians. He had to speak to them as if they were just saved, but they had been saved for many years. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye yet not carnal and walk as men? As a result of them being immature and carnal Christians and babes in Christ, there was strife in the church, envying and divisions. Amen. And you can see that. That's what you're going to see in a church where the folks are babes in Christ. Amen. Carnal Christians, not spiritual. Amen. They can't handle the meat of the word. Amen. You're going to find the divisions and the envying and strife going on. We also want to look at Hebrews chapter 5 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5 also. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14 we read, talking again about immature believers. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers... Amen. And of course, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and he's addressing the Hebrews, and he's saying, you should have been teachers. And then he says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God. In other words, you should be teachers. A group of people he was talking to, the Hebrews, should be teaching others, but instead, others are teaching them. They need teachers. Amen. And they're teaching the basic things, the first principles of the oracle of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. So, we see, as we look again with these seven tribes that have grown lazy and careless, and they've become very carnal at best, they ought to be teachers here. In other words, leaders. Amen. There ought to be Christians not having the same old problems month after month, year after year. And we as an army ought to be conquering more spiritual territory in our lives and in the devil's territories. Amen. But we can become very complacent, can we not? Very indifferent, very careless, and very slack in our attitude about spiritual things. Now, as we turn our attention back to Joshua chapter 18 for a moment, we see spies or surveyors are sent out once again, a third time. And we turn back to Joshua chapter 18, and we'll read verses 4 through 9. Joshua says, give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south side, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them and went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh. So they go out a third time to survey the land, to spy the land. And the reason they did that was to get a vision. Amen? To get a vision. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 29, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, in verse 18, says, Where there is no vision, the people perish. So they went out to spy the land, to get a vision, to survey the land, to get a vision, amen, so they wouldn't perish. And we see that they wanted a description of the land in order to know exactly what to possess. And they wrote what laid ahead for them in a book. This way, the remaining tribes would read the description of their inheritance and hopefully get excited and get back in the fight, amen? See that there was something worth fighting about. What's the application? Well, the application to us as Christians would be the Word of God surveys what lies ahead for the Christian in order for him or her to set their affections there instead of being content here. Amen. And then we see the division of the land to the seven last tribes. And we read, and of course the division of the land is going to take place all the way from Joshua chapter 18 verse 10 to Joshua 19 verse 48. And we read in Joshua chapter 18 in verse 10 and 11, And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their division. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. And what we have in the verses in Joshua chapter 18 from verses 12 to 28, we're not going to read them. Amen. But this describes the borders of and the cities of the land given to Benjamin. Now, we see Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, their name means son of my strength, or my right-hand man, is named by Jacob when his wife Rachel died in his birth. And again, this portion of the land that Benjamin inherited, well, it was located between Judah on the south and Manasseh just above it. And this area included 36 villages and cities. So we conclude our lesson number 19, Joshua chapter 18, as we've concluded the dividing of the land, part number 1. Now, as we continue, we're beginning now a new lesson, lesson number 20, and the study on the book of Joshua. And, of course, lesson number 20, we'll be looking at the 19th chapter of Joshua. And lesson 20 here is entitled, Dividing the Remaining Land, Part 2. We have just discussed part 1 in lesson number 19 in chapter 18 of Joshua. So let's begin lesson number 20, Joshua chapter 19. A little bit of an introduction. The land of Israel is like the church, with people being saved and placed into it with their particular talents and abilities so that the whole body fits together and works together for the glory of God. So we've seen Benjamin got their land, was inherited their land. Now there's 6 tribes to go. And each one of these tribes, amen, is like a state or a country. Now, we pick up the action in Joshua chapter 19. And we have in verses 1 through 9, we have the dividing of the remaining land, but here we have in verse 1, we'll read of Joshua 19, and the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And, of course, we read all the way down through there. What we have there is the borders and the cities that were allocated to Simeon. And then in verse 9, we read, out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. Now, Simeon, the name Simeon means answer to prayer. And we see that within the land that Simeon inherited, there were 13 cities located within the portion that Simeon inherited. And they were located inside Judah's lot. And the reason for that we just read was because Judah could not fill up all their land by themselves. Now the next tribe we see the lot fell to was Zebulun. Let's look at Joshua chapter 19, verse number 10. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their heavens was unto Sarid. And then again, all the way down through verse 16, Joshua chapter 19, again we have the borders and the cities of the land that Zebulun inherited. In verse 16 of Joshua 19, we read, and this is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. And the name Zebulun means abiding or by my side. And it was located west of the Sea of Galilee, and it had 12 cities. And what's interesting, this and Naphtali are where the Lord Jesus will spend a lot of his time ministering, not just in the Jerusalem area. Let's look at a couple of references here. First, we want to turn to Isaiah for a moment. We will turn to Isaiah Isaiah chapter number 9 with me. Isaiah chapter number 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, we want to look at verses 1 and 2. Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And, of course, this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to come. Now, let's turn now to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4, for a moment. Matthew chapter 4. And we read in Matthew chapter 4 in verses 13 through 16. We read this. "And leaving Nazareth," talking about Jesus now, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah," was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up." And of course, we know that Jesus is the light of the world, and this is the light, amen, that's spoken about. Those that sat in great darkness, spiritual darkness, they saw a great light in that area that we're talking about, Zebulun and Naphtali. Amen. And that was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next we want to, as we turn our attention back to the book of Joshua, and we want to go back to chapter number 19 again, and we want to see that the next tribe to receive their inheritance, beginning in verse 17, we read, in Joshua chapter 19, verse 17, "And the fourth lot came out to Issachar, for the children of Issachar according to their families." And of course, and then of course the cities, and again the borders of the land that Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, inherited, are described from verses 18 down to verse 23. In chapter 19 of Joshua, we read in Joshua chapter 19, verse 23, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities, and their villages. And the name Issachar means my reward, and it was located just south of Zebulun, and it contained 16 cities. Now the next tribe to receive their inheritance was Asher. And we pick up in verse 24 of Joshua 19, and we read this, "And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families." And then again, we read all the way down through verses 25 through 31, describes the cities and the borders of the land that Asher inherited. We read in verse 31 of Joshua 19, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages." And the name Asher means blessed or pure happiness, and was located on the west coast next to the Mediterranean Sea, west of Naphtali and Zebulun, and it contained 22 cities within its border. Now the next lot fell to Naphtali, and we see in Joshua chapter 19, verse 32, we read, "The sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali, according to their families." And then all the way down through verse 39, we have the borders and the cities that were given to Naphtali that they inherited. And in verse 39 of Joshua 19, we read, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities, and their villages." Now, the name Naphtali means "I have prevailed." And Naphtali was located, the tribe Naphtali was located west and north of the Sea of Galilee, and it consisted of 19 cities. Now, we want to see the principle behind all of this. All of these tribes had an inheritance from the Lord. Amen. Not just Judah and Ephraim, the biggest tribes. So the same goes for Christians. Amen. Our job then is to help everyone to go in and possess their inheritance. Amen. Their inheritance being heaven, salvation, real liberty in Christ, and finding the will of God. That's our job, to help everyone to go in and possess the land, to be able to obtain their inheritance. Amen. Now we see, finally, the last lot is cast, the seventh lot is cast to Dan in Joshua chapter 19 and verse number 40. "And the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families." And we see that the borders and the cities that Dan inherited in the land are described down through verse 48. And in verse 48 we read, "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages." Now, Dan, the name Dan means the judge. And Dan was placed right between Judah and Ephraim at first. And they, as a tribe, move north and take Leshem. Look at what it says in verse 47 of Joshua 19. "And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem, and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and possessed it, and dwelt therein, and called Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their father." They wanted their own place. Amen. They wanted their own place, not the place God had for them. Amen. That's right. We see in Isaiah chapter 53, in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 6, we're reminded, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all." So Dan wanted to go their own way, wanted their own place. It's just as man, every one of us, because of our fallen nature, has gone their own way, has gone astray. Amen. Then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we read in verse number 18 of 1 Corinthians 12, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." See, God has a plan for his body, the body of Christ. And we must allow him to place each one of us into his body as he please, because he's God. Now, unfortunately, like Dan, a lot of times as Christians, we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing, amen? Now, we see that we can see the beginning of Israel's apostasy has to do with Dan. And we see this in Judges 17, verses 1 through 13. And then in Judges 18, we can turn to Judges 18 for a moment. In Judges 18, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites," that's Dan, "sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For under that day all their inheritance had not fallen under them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their families 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshkatal, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go search the land, who when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there." And we see that what happens is in Dan is they develop an independent priesthood, independent of the Levites. So we see the beginning of the apostasy of Israel with the tribe Dan. Also, they began idol worship with the Lord connected with it. And they called their male priests were being called father. And then we see the wearing, we see the wearing of vestments. We see the wearing of vestments in the book of 2 Kings. So they established their own independent priesthood, amen, independent of the way God had set it up with the Levites. And in 2 Kings chapter 10, in verse 22, we read this, "And he said unto him that was over the vestry, Bring forth the vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments." So here we see the vestments being worn and the worshiping of Baal, amen. And then we see the worship. If that wasn't bad enough, we see the worship of the Queen of Heaven, amen. The Queen of Heaven. And we see that in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 44 and verses 18 and 19. Jeremiah 44, 18 and 19. "But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings and unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?" And of course here we know that the Queen of the Heaven goes back to idol worship and to Babylon, and Israel carried it forth here as Dan went into apostasy. But we have the Queen of the Heaven, as the Catholics call it, Mary worship, amen. Mary, they worship Mary, the mother of Jesus, amen. And of course here we see Elijah is connected with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18, where he has the contest with the prophets of Baal and shows that the God of Israel is the true God as he defeats the prophet of Baal. Now what we have in Joshua chapter 19, if we go back there in verses 49 to 51, is we have Joshua's inheritance described. "And when they had made an end of dividing the land for an inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them, according to the word of the Lord. They gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. And these are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. And so what we see here is in verse 49 with Joshua's inheritance. They're taking time to take care of their leader Joshua, to give him a portion of it. And we know, of course, that Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that we should take care of our leader also, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we should take care of our leaders, beginning with Jesus Christ. In First Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse 17 we read, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever, and amen." Just as we see that they take time to take care of the leader Joshua, we are to take time to honor and give glory to our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelations, chapter 11, in verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen. And then also we need to take care of our leaders, also our church leaders. Amen. And the Bible has a lot to say about our church leaders. For example, in 1 Timothy, we go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 5, and verses 17 and 18, we read, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And of course, that's talking about the pastor of the church. He is to get honor, double honor, amen. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 12 and 13, we read, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Again, we're told the leaders of the church are to be esteemed highly in love, amen, to be honored, amen. And then we read also concerning pastors, amen, in Hebrews chapter 13. It says in verse 7, we begin, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Then in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, we read, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Also, it relates to, we must take care and give honor to our government leaders, as well as business leaders, and give honor to whom honor is due, according to Romans, as we turn to the book of Romans in chapter 13, in verse number 7, we read, Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Amen. So we see that Joshua deserves the choice land, does he not? Because he was the leader. Joshua, he was a good leader. According to the word of God, in Joshua 19, verse 50, According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked. Amen. And we compare this with what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. And then we see that Joshua builds his inheritance, a city. And we'll look at that next time, the city that he builds in Joshua chapter 9, verse 50. We'll complete this lesson number 19, or lesson number 20, and we'll begin lesson 21.